the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
A huge welcome to the Parramatta's podcast. I am Barry and this week, Bernie's busy, he's doing trivia. Jono's out camping. I think as a Queenslander, he knew they were going to lose game two, so he just went as far away from civilization where he wouldn't be able to get texts, he wouldn't be able to hear about it, but he's out camping. So a friend of the show and a massive Parramatta fan, Troy Warner, has agreed to jump on the podcast and help us out this week. We really appreciate it. Troy, how are you, mate?
I am fantastic, mate. Thank you very much for having me. It's an honour to be on your show, and what is it, third cab off the rank, so that's all right, mate. Happy to help out.
This is your third appearance on our show. Now, you run the Para Cave out near Penrith, but you told me something kind of shocking just before we turned on the recorder, which was that you went to the Opera House for a beer this week. Now, mate, are they letting people from Penrith in the Opera House these days? What's happening to standards in Sydney? Tell me all about it.
Mate, I don't usually travel that far from a holiday, so it was a special day on Tuesday morning. It was, as you can see, or the listeners can't see, but you can, I've got the Mark Hughes Foundation beanie on, beanies for brain cancer round this round. So on Tuesday was the official launch at the SCG, and there was 150, 200 people, celebrities, general public, and I was invited to go along, so I went along on Tuesday morning and they launched the Beanies for Brain Cancer round, and then we did a 5 kilometre walk from the SCG down to the Opera House, so that wasn't too bad. Places I hadn't been before or seen before, so down there, and which was good, and got to talk to a few of the people that were there. I think I spoke to Nico Hines, Bo Ryan, Aaron Woods, the great man Mark Hughes himself, and Billy Peden as well. So there was a few people there. I think Freddie was at the SCG, Freddie Fittler. Andrew Johns was at the SCG as well. Greg Florimo from the Bears. Mark McGaw from the old Sharkies days. He was there as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was a few, and currently the big three trek are doing a, well, they started yesterday morning. They're doing a 150-kilometre trek from, well, Sydney NRL headquarters to Newcastle for the game tomorrow night. So they're 100Ks done at the moment. So just raising more money for the Mark Hughes Foundation and brain cancer research and hoping to find a cure. So it's amazing work that they've done. The Mark Hughes Foundation, I think, has been going for 6 years, and they've raised $15 million. So
wow,
they're doing some really good stuff. So if you're at any NRL games this weekend, grab yourself a beanie, $25, and all goes to charity. So, or you can go to IGAs or Lowe's stores as well.
Excellent. Now, you committed to the 5K walk, but the 120K walk was just a little bit too far for you, Troy. What's going on?
Well, you know, maybe next year, but the work got in the way today and tomorrow. So, yeah, geez, I don't know how I'd go with 150Ks, to be honest, but I don't know. Maybe if Newcastle were playing Parramatta, maybe I might tie that up, maybe.
But yeah,
I don't know how I'd get back to Sydney. I'd have to catch a plane from Newcastle to Sydney, I think, or walk back, who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sure if you took your Jack's Pale Ale, which you're drinking right now with you, and that'd keep you company on the trip. I've got a Great Northern, so cheers, mate. It's a good foundation and you gave it a good plug, so good on you. Well, our good friend Jono, who is a member of this show, as I said, he's a diehard Queenslander and it wasn't a good weekend for him. So why don't we start celebrating the Women's Origin match on Friday night? Now, we both watched the game. I loved it. I'm a huge fan of the Women's NRL, particularly the NRLW Origin, because they really just give it their all. And sometimes it's almost fights. I love that. Bit of old school footy there, but they sort of started the match by saying that the Raiders, Sharks, Tigers and Cowboys are coming in 2023 for the NRLW. So the competition is just going from strength to strength. And I think the more footy, the better.
Yeah, 100%. It's great news that those four clubs came in. So it'll be a 10-week competition or home and away competition to start off with. So that's great news for them. There's only one Origin game at the moment. Mm. I'm hoping they might go to... There's no point in going to two games. They've got to go to three games. It's just a matter of trying to fit it all in and into the schedule. But, yeah, they should go to three. But, yeah, that was great news to start off with. And, yeah, it was a great game on Friday night between the New South Wales and Queensland women. I think Queensland had won the last two games, I think. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely... New South Wales were hungry to get that victory back again. And, yeah, it was just, as you said, it's great to watch the NRLW. There's, you know, there's sometimes bigger hits than the blokes. And, you know, they really rip in and some great skills on show. And it was a neck-and-neck contest for most of the game. And you just didn't know who was going to get away with the victory. I thought Queensland were going to get it at the end there, but a disallowed try for being offside. Unfortunately for them, fortunately for New South Wales. And then Isabel Kelly just scored that try right at the end to seal it, which was great.
So let's go back for a second. I believe the NRLW is expanding to 10 teams. That's what will be in the competition next year. There'll be 10 female teams. And so what do you think the chances are of the Tigers, you know, getting their usual ninth place spot now because there's 10 teams for the women? Do you think that's going to be on the cards next year?
That's a very interesting point that you bring up there. The old Tigers and ninth spot. That's look, potentially. It just depends on which players they get for next year because it's very interesting. I mean, because they play in the Harvey Norman Premiership at the moment, and you know, one of Parramatta's best players, Botil Betty Welsh, she plays for the Tigers in the Harvey Norman Premiership. So it'll be interesting to see where her allegiances lie. It's got to be Parramatta.
Without question.
Yeah, that's it. So there's a few, I think Kezzy Apps and I think Jess Sergis plays for Tigers in the Harvey Norman as well. So there's a few of them. So depending on what the players they'll get, the Sharks, they've been playing women's football for a long time. So I'm surprised they weren't in the original NRLW. So they've got a crack now. Canberra and North Queensland as well. That'll be interesting to see how they go as well.
But as you said, it was very neck and neck, and that's what you want in a footy game. I thought Emma Tonegado for New South Wales was amazing. I mean, obviously, Ali Brigginshaw for Queensland is always rock steady. Rachel Pearson for us with her kicking game, mate, she's no Mitchell Moses. She was hitting them ones and not missing. So she did Moses a kick right at the end, but she did really well. And I didn't know this, but Emma was the Dally M player for the women last year. So having that in our team, and I believe we would have had Bo Vetti Welsh as well, but obviously she got a season-ending injury, which, you know, she's very much a Parramatta player, isn't she, because she's out injured. But, yeah, it would have been, we would have just had more firepower had we had her. But the one player I want to talk about for New South Wales who was a massive impact player was Caitlin Johnson, and it was her debut, and she just came on, and her hits were amazing. She just really straight up the middle. And there was no stopping her. She had a fantastic game.
Oh, absolutely. Her impact off the bench there, I think, you know, her first run, she just ripped in off the back fence. And there was a point there, I think, it looked like she was going to score a try from one of those damaging runs right up the middle. But, yeah, her defence was rock solid as well. And, yeah, probably behind Isabel Kelly, probably she was probably the best player on the field.
But very tight at first half. So at halftime, a tight game could go either way. And the good thing about the second half was the niggle started to come into it. And there was a bit of a ball being rubbed in someone's face. And then there was like, yeah, it started to get heated. And that's what you want in Origin because the blokes are just such a letdown. It's all about they run in and they make this big dramatic flare of it all. You know, they might as well be doing sparkle fingers and, you know, wearing tassels and stuff. Because, you know, there's no fight. They're just coming in to get on the camera. But these girls were getting as toey as a Roman sandal. I was thinking, yeah, we're going to see a biff here. But a bit of push and shove and a little bit of rugby at one point. I'm not sure if you picked up on that. Yeah. It was like, because the girl herself was, I can't remember her name, but just before Panattoni scored, there was just this moment where it was totally like a ruck the way that it played. And yeah, and in the end, we essentially take it home. As you say, Isabel Kelly scored 20-14, 2 minutes left. And that was when Rachel Pearson, she finally missed one, but she'd been so consistent all night. And the great news is we have more wins over Queensland.
That's right. I don't know why we don't see more of those little rugby plays in the game. Mm. That was a pretty smart play from Queensland to score that try in the corner. And you thought at that point that they were going to jag the win like Queensland usually do. But, yeah, Isabel scored that try and wrapped up the game. So, yeah, love the little bit of niggle, as you said, between the two sides. It was great to see that perhaps a little bit of frustration from Queensland maybe that snuck into their game maybe. I'm not too sure, but, yeah, it was a great ending for sure.
Mm-hmm. And this game wasn't marred by the controversy last time of a Queensland player and a New South Wales player kissing after the game. Nobody had a problem with the same-sex kiss. Everybody had a problem with a Queenslander and a New South Wales player kissing on camera. It's just like, that's not on. They're our enemies, and that's where they're enemies. There's none of that.
Yeah, and I think one of the best things to come out of it was a record crowd for the Origin as well. I think they had 11,500 there, so in freezing cold Canberra. So,
yeah,
there's obviously a massive interest for the women's game, so record crowd, well done.
And my understanding is that next year it is going to two games. And then, as you would imagine, it's then eventually going to evolve to three. But having that Friday night, that Channel 9 coverage, getting that exposure, and the girls just doing both states proud, putting on such an effort, it can only help grow the game, which is a great thing. Like, I've always been a massive fan of, so we get more footy. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's it. It was an interesting point that I think one of the experts on Fox came up with. I think that they thought it was better that the NRLW was played previously in the season. So was it February, March? So they already had that little bit of exposure. Then they played the Origin, then they're going to play another season of NRLW. So I don't know, could you split up two NRLW competitions each year and then have Origin in the middle? I don't know, but strange thing about two games, I mean, what happens if it's one all?
And yeah, yeah.
You just got to go back to the previous season's winner, I guess. But and then you're going to feel dudded, aren't you? Like,
yeah, like the Ashes. So whoever had it won last year, they've got to retain it. But my understanding is there's only two seasons this year because they missed out due to COVID. So they're just playing catch up. So next year it won't be two seasons split up. It'll just be the one in Origin.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, so do you put the season at the start of the year because more of the focus on NRL might be on the men's game later on in the year and then the women might not get as much exposure? Sure, the crowds are bigger towards the end of the year, but maybe have it at the start of the year and then lead into Origin. I don't know.
I mean, it's very controversial. You might hear right now one of my cats, Anyong, in the room next door. She's got a lot to say about this right now. So, yes, it's on.
Obviously,
it's on,
doesn't like my opinion there.
It's on everyone's minds, even the felines. But, look, regardless, I'll be watching next year because it was a great match.
Definitely, 100%. And sorry, Jono, mate, for 4-0 to New South Wales.
Yeah.
Under-19s, men's and women's winning as well. And then the men winning on Sunday. So, sorry, Jono.
I don't know why you're apologising. You don't need to do that.
Yeah, I suppose after all those years of Queensland dominance, it's good to get those ones back.
Absolutely.
The Parramatta's podcast, because Parramatta fans matter.
We're both in a good mood because the men ended up winning, but I've got to say there was a lot of trepidation and concern on my part. I know Bernie felt the same way with all the changes that Freddie made after game one, which seemed very reactionary. I didn't feel, and Bernie felt the same thing, that he really needed to make such wholesale changes because the game was relatively close. It wasn't like last year when Queensland just got stomped by us in the first two games. So I don't know if he did it to take the attention off him. I don't know if maybe Billy Slater had every single player in that first game red and so he mixed it right up just to confuse them. I'm not sure what his reasoning was, but in the end, he ended up being proven right, didn't he?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, like yourselves, probably there was a lot of people mystified about all the changes. I didn't think Angus Crichton was going to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of people thought that Jake Trbojevic should have been there in game one, and he certainly proved himself in game two that he deserved his spot back there. Talakai, he did a little bit. He only had a little bit of time on the field, he did a little bit there. Matty Burton in the centres, well, he proved himself in game two that he's going to be an Origin player for a long time. Who else was there that came in?
Oh, God. Well, not that they came in, but didn't the Panthers trio stand up? Cleary, Luai and To'o, they just were so good.
Yeah, absolutely. I picked Nathan Cleary as man of the match for game two for the simple reason that he's one of these players that generally doesn't have two bad games in a row.
Yeah.
And he really wanted to... I'm assuming anyway that he really wanted to stand up in game two because of his game one performance. He didn't have the best game. He didn't have a bad game, but he didn't have his best game in game one because Queensland shut him down a lot. But yeah, definitely those three really stood up, and it showed when they scored that try when Kafusi was off in the sin bin.
Yeah, but we almost made nothing of that. Yeah, 13 tackles on Queensland's try line, and my Queensland co-host from my other podcast, The Dummy M, he's like, oh, no, this is terrible. And I'm like, wait, you watch. We won't make anything of this. And it really wasn't until the dying moments of that 10 minutes that something came of it. We just put so much pressure on them. And really, okay, granted, we might have been tiring them out, but we really didn't produce much for three sets of six on their try line and not going over. That's just, yeah, it was like, oh, no, how does this happen? It's crazy. But in the end, yeah, we must have worn them down. But Munster had a good game. He made a couple of good breaks, but in reality... Cleary just, when you're talking apples and oranges there, Munster was so standout in game one, but Cleary was standout in game two.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you thought when Munster scored that try in the first half, you thought, okay, well, he's maybe on another run like game one, but I think he copped a bit of a shoulder injury as well during the game, so he wasn't 100%, so maybe he was thinking about that a little bit. But yeah, I think what Cleary got a charge down on Munster, I think. So that was good to see. So, yeah, back to your point about the sets of six. Well, yeah, you would have thought, you know, they had like five, six sets of six, six agains, and you thought, come on, score a try.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got all these tackles, score a try, do something. But, yeah, it wasn't until Kafusi got sin-bin that they scored. So
I always get worried at the start of the game. Queensland had three mullets. And I swear, and yeah, this goes back to the Bible. There's just something about the hair, Samson and his hair. You know, there's just something about it that the mullet has magical qualities on an NRL football field. It does. And when I saw they had three mullets, I was like, oh no, this is terrible news. But the mullets didn't help them that much. So that was a good thing.
Well, we had a bit of a hair gang as well. I think there was a picture in the paper of Luai Jr. and To'o and... There was one other, I can't remember who it was, but they're a bit of a hair gang themselves. But, yeah, unfortunately, Pappenhausen was injured, so he couldn't play. Otherwise, we maybe would have had one in our side.
But there you go. What am I saying here? Pappenhausen's got the mullet. It's magic. It's magic. So, yeah, so first half, we go to the halftime, 14-12 to New South Wales. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm still a little bit worried thinking, oh, no, we're not going to win this. You know, we're going to stuff it up because, you know, Queensland just had that ability to just make, you know, something out of nothing. And eventually when we did get that try when Kafusi was off, it was suddenly, you know, 20-12 and you're like, okay, all right, we're starting to get a bit of a run here. And then Luai scored and it was like, okay, I really think that's the end of it now. And at 26-12, I thought it was over. And then the end, 44-12, it was amazing.
Yeah, definitely. As you said, at halftime, you thought, okay, Queensland is still in this game. It could be anybody's game. But then when they did score those couple of quick tries after halftime and get to that 26-12 lead, you thought, okay, that's a bit more comfortable. Mm. Are they going to keep the foot on the accelerator and just try and score more tries? Or are they just going to go into a defensive mode and just defend a lead? It was obviously the opposite, and Queensland just fell apart.
Yeah.
Cleary scored two tries untouched, so pretty much untouched. So, and that was right up the middle. So they were just, and Luai's try as well, he was virtually untouched as well. So
yeah.
The back end of that first half must have really taken out Queensland's energy because some of those tries were really easy.
Yeah, and it's funny, we can't penetrate their defence, you know, for three sets on their try line. And then later on, there's just these giant gaping holes when they've got a full contingent, and suddenly we've got holes that you could drive a bus through. It's crazy. Yeah, it was well done. The only sort of downside for me is that I, as a school teacher in Queensland, I wear my blue stuff to school and I go out of my way to just, you know, stir the kids up. And up here, Sunday night was essentially the next day was the first day of our school holidays. So I didn't get the whole day at school to just gloat to all the kids. So it's going to suck if we lose the next one, because then I'm just going to have kids giving me grief, you know, in for game one, and then kids giving me shit for game three, and I never get the chance to give them any grief for game two.
Yeah, mate. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully the Blues can get game three up there, and then you will have bragging rights at school on a Thursday, because this game's played on a Wednesday. So, yeah, nah, I sort of know how you feel being a Parramatta fan living in Penrith. So I had those bragging rights a few weeks ago back in, what, round six, when the Eels beat the Panthers at home and ended their unbeaten streak at Bluebet. So, yeah, I know where you're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it makes game three really interesting, because if there's one thing that 2021 showed us, is that playing in Queensland means nothing now. So there's no Fortress Suncorp. There's none of that, because we just went there and stomped them last year. I was there at that game, and I'm shocked. I'm shocked not only at how poorly Queensland played, but I absolutely deserved about 70 punches in the head. I was so drunk and obnoxious in the crowd, you know, Fortress Suncorp. And I was just giving them, heaps, and nobody punched me, not one punch in the head. It's just like, it's soft. That's just soft. So I really think, yeah, oh, does Queensland have an advantage at Suncorp? Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty level.
Yeah, well, I sort of thought that too when I went up to Queensland for an Origin game and wore my Blues jersey in the Caxton Street pub. So I sort of know where you're coming from there as well. But look, it's going to be a mental thing, I think, for New South Wales, because no doubt Queensland maybe might remind them, oh, look, you haven't won a decider at Suncorp since 2005, so when Andrew Johns was on fire that year. So maybe they might pull that out as a bit of a mental thing, but as you said, all three games were in Queensland last year, so yeah, and it was 2-1, so
yeah,
including New South Wales winning it at Suncorp. But I suppose a decider at Lang Park, Suncorp, is probably a little bit different because of that factor that we haven't, well, New South Wales haven't won a decider up there many times, so hopefully it won't be, and the Blues can get the victory.
Here's hoping. Well, the good times must come to an end, all that Origin goodness. And of course, we look forward to the Eels playing the Bunnies on Saturday night. Of course, it has to be the match that Latrell Mitchell comes back for. And rumours are that he's very fit and he's really pumped and he's out to make a point and hopefully get into the Origin squad. So I don't know. I'll have mixed emotions about that, because I want to see him do well and get into the Origin squad and go and smash Queensland. But at the same time, I don't want him to get that opportunity because he got it against us. So I don't know. I don't like Parramatta when they have a few couple of days to a week off. I'm not a fan of that, because they tend to just not show up. So I think Latrell's got a point to prove, and I think we've had an extended holiday. I don't know, mate. I'm not feeling confident. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think it's a little bit different this time as the last time when Parramatta had 5 days off, because that was a debacle. But I think the good thing about this time is we've actually had a lot of rep players play for their countries and Origin. So they'll bring that experience hopefully back to Parramatta, and they want to build on that. But yeah, look, Souths are a bit of a bogey side for Parramatta. I don't think we have the greatest record against them. I think Alex Johnston scored 3 tries last year against us down that, I think it was, what, left-hand side, I think?
The Fergo side.
Yeah, it looked like a bit of a training run at times, unfortunately. And as you said, Latrell is back. I said the other day that I made a bold prediction that I don't, as great a player as Latrell is, I don't think he'll last the game. I don't think he'll play a full 80. And even if I was a New South Wales selector, I probably wouldn't pick him for New South Wales either.
Okay.
He's a great player, and it's great to see him back playing NRL, but it's just been, you know, nearly 2 months, 3 months since he's played. yeah, obviously his teammates have said that he looks good, he feels good, and he himself has come out and said that as well. So, look, we wish him all the best, obviously not too much against us. But I heard an interesting thing today on the radio that I think the average score that South have scored against Parramatta in the last 5 years or something is like 38 points. So that's really concerning. But, yeah, I mean, as I said, with those rep boys bringing back that experience back to clubland, these and knowing that these are the teams that we need to beat that are lower than us on the ladder, and knowing what happened last time we played a team lower than us on the ladder, we're held in good stead to get the victory in this one. We just need to start off well again, like we did against the Roosters, and hopefully lead from the front and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about the rep footy, I was shocked that Queensland didn't pick Dylan Brown. I couldn't believe it because, you know, they always have Tongans. They have people born in Samoa, people born in Fiji. So why not? Why not someone born in New Zealand? I was really shocked they didn't pull that one.
That's in Queensland, eh? Yeah, that's in Queensland. Yeah, maybe. Maybe they should have looked at it, see if he's got a little bit of Queenslander in him. But, I don't know. But, yeah, look, it's going to be probably the weather prediction is going to be raining on Saturday night. So it's going to be cold and wet, 12 degrees apparently. Mm-hmm. So probably don't want to be throwing the football around a lot. Mm. And it's probably going to be a bit of a grinding game, I think, with the weather.
Yeah, okay. Well, we do play well in the wet. That's one thing in our favour.
And now that Ryan Madison's contract negotiations are behind him, he's re-signed, that won't be a distraction as well. So, yeah, Michael Sivo's got another game under his belt playing for Fiji last week. Mm. And we actually saw him run the ball, actually. He was in full stride, I think. So,
yeah, which
was something we haven't seen much of before. He's usually at a bit of a jog pace, but we need to get this victory against a lower-ranked team, and because it's slowly coming up to a interesting time for Parramatta where we've got three home games in a row coming up soon. Mm. So if we can win these next couple and then get those three at home, that'll hold us in good stead.
Well, hopefully so. But you heard it here first that Troy has predicted Latrell Mitchell is the new Adam Reynolds. He won't make a full game. He plays a little bit of footy and then he gets injured and he goes off. So we'll see how that goes. And hopefully we'll get a good game at Acor Stadium there on Saturday night. Are you going to this one?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. Just probably a bit of a shock to your listeners and probably to a lot of people, actually. But I was sort of like that for the Bulldogs game a few weeks ago. I was sort of umming and ahhing whether I was going to go or not. I didn't end up going and probably thankfully I didn't go. But yeah, I'm not too sure, to be honest. I might make up my mind on Saturday, I think.
Okay, well, good luck to the Eels. And as always, Troy, we really appreciate your contributions and give your podcast a plug while you're at it, buddy.
Yeah, so the Paracave podcast, you can find it on all good podcast platforms, as you can probably find this one as well. Yeah, up to 100 episodes now, so it's a very enjoyable 100th episode with a mixture of Parramatta past players from the 80s and, you know, 90s and 2000s, so a little bit of grabs from everyone else there. So, yeah, it's a pretty interesting podcast, this one out this week, and a couple of Parramatta people coming up as well in the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, check it out.
Okay, well, be sure to check out the Paracave podcast. And I, of course, every week you can catch me on the Dummy M with my mate T-Dog. We just essentially pick three silly sports stories for the week and try and decide who the biggest dummy winner is. So make sure you check that out on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And again, Troy, we really appreciate you stepping in, mate. But as we always say here on the Parramatta's podcast, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatta's podcast, available on all major podcasting platforms.